Good evening, all of you beautiful beings of energy and light. Thank you for joining us under the influence of tonight's moon that is currently in Aquarius, parting an influence of feeling energized and uplifted by connecting with the collective, which is quite fitting for this show where we come together to explore, to connect, to become inspired, and to heal and raise consciousness together. I'm your host, Jessica Dillon Winter, and I pay homage to you for tuning in. I'm coming to you live from the Dive-In in downtown Lake Worth, Florida, and here with me are my guests for this evening from the musical collective known as Archaeology. In the room, we have DJs Depth, Alex Gerhardt, Decipher, Landon Yerby, Bounce, Kevin Kosak, and Rock is Dead, Brad Brown. Archaeology is spreading the art of DJing through turntablism in South Florida. They play many varieties of music, but their collective heart is in drum and bass and jungle. They've each been in the scene for at least 15 years. Together, they handpick from their libraries tracks of old and new to form one unified body of sound. This evening, we'll hear about their journey to come together to bring underground electronic music to the people of South Florida, and also how they're bringing vinyl back to the forefront of their genre mixing. Archaeology, welcome to the show.
Hey!
What's that?
Yeah, Brad said hi.
So, let's begin our conversation with each of your own personal journeys through music and then how you all connected with one another. So, Alex, do you want to tell us about how you started?
Well, I started DJing around 98. Got my first real gig around 2003, and I've been playing at clubs and stuff ever since. Music was a big part of growing up. I grew up with the Beatles. I grew up with Led Zeppelin. My mom was a hippie, so music was just a big influence in my life. And when I was able to manipulate it through DJing, I just fell in love. And it's not just dance music, with all genres of music. I love jazz, really all of it. The reason why I play jungle and drum and bass is the high energy and the very eclectic sounds that can go with that genre and subgenres and of subgenres. It's just so broad. I just absolutely love it. So it's something I'm always going to do. I know it's something that's always going to be in my heart, producing it. Playing it out. Love it.
One of the things that's interesting to me, when I see you guys spinning your records, your vinyl, I do see clips with you guys, you post on Facebook and whatnot, where you've got like some of this old school music like Led Zeppelin and whatnot. So how do you feel that fits in with that newer style of electronic music, drum and bass? I mean, do you find, the same frequencies, or what is it that flows together?
Very much so. You nail it. It's a lot of the same frequencies. It's a lot of rock influence. Even this, and there's going to be this mix that we're playing right now.
What is this mix that we're playing?
This mix is something that Rock is Dead and I put together last night. And we kind of wanted to bring together a little bit of what next week's show is going to be. Jungle, but we wanted to have a little more of an atmospheric tone to it.
And you're referring to the show that you guys have next week at Respectable Street Club on Wednesday, right?
Correct.
From 9 p.m. to 3 a.m.?
That's correct.
Okay. So, jungle and...
Well, what I was saying is that there is a part of jungle called an amen, and that is a break that came about from an old jazz band from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they took this little break, it's a little clip of some drum work, and it create this, it's called an amen, and it's still used to this day in almost all kinds of electronic music, mostly in jungle and drum and bass.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the big influence on everything. It all ties together.
Yeah.
That 1/6-second loop has basically created its own genre. Because I'm in bass.
Yeah,
it's
really
has. Mm-hmm. It's that breakbeat, jungle, drum and bass, all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hip-hop.
Yeah. Hip-hop, yeah.
Okay. So, Landon, how did you get your start?
I grew up in a small town in North Carolina called the Outer Banks, and a buddy of mine actually had a record shop, which you would never think that this record shop would have all this electronic music in it, being as how small the town it was. But he just liked ordering stuff for himself and supplied all this stuff and did a lot of online sales.
Mm-hmm.
So basically started buying records then, got really into it, moved down to Florida the first time, and met Kevin up in St. Augustine. We started DJing at a place called the Mad Love Mirror. I moved down to West Palm Beach, and I met everybody else, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. We've been doing it ever since.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Kevin, how'd you get your start?
Yeah, I grew up in South Carolina and moved down to St. Augustine in like 95, and went to college, and actually started going to a lot of parties in Gainesville, a club called Simon, and a lot of, I guess you would call raves and stuff like that, and I really got into it, and I really didn't even really know what drum and bass was when I got into it, didn't really even care for it that much, and didn't really understand it. And after going to parties for a couple years, I'd say about 97, I wandered into the wrong room one night.
That happened to all of us.
And Dara was playing, and yeah, I was just hooked from then on.
Mm-hmm.
Like Alex said, music's always been a huge part of my life. And I think what I really liked about drum and bass is how, I think Alex touched on it, they incorporate elements of, all the various subgenres. You have rock, you have jazz, you have hip hop, and you have just all these little spinoffs from even those. And it's really cool, it's almost like it could appeal to just about anybody if they could just find that right subgenre or sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not like, we're house or breaks or, whatever, we're just kind of locked into that same sound.
Right.
It doesn't have that same variety, I don't think. And that's
you're
why
talking,
I really love drum and bass.
When you say it has that same sound, you're talking about just like a real...
A variety
like
where, yeah, they can
boom,
make
boom,
normal,
boom,
you know,
boom,
regular instruments. Organic, warm instruments,
mm-hmm.
And, they sample those, a lot of that kind of stuff. And, there is the more electronic, drum and bass stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's always appealed to me because no matter what kind of mood you're in, there's something for it. You're pissed off and you can listen to something crazy and hard you're enjoying the day, it's a beautiful day, and you can put something jazzy and fun on,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I've learned, in being around you guys, too, is that's one thing I hear a lot, actually, is the jazz component. I hear that a lot with all of you. Is that something you all pretty much
definitely.
Like?
I found later, I appreciate it. At first, I didn't really, but actually, drum and bass brought me closer to jazz and my appreciation for it
mm-hmm.
than I had, previously before I got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it's happened to me too. Was the jazz influence, and then I would look back into the roots on where those sounds came from, and then fell in love over again with this. I knew about jazz, but I didn't know about real jazz, real deep jazz. Kenny G and stuff. That's not the jazz I'm talking about. Old Miles Davis and music again. I do over and over again.
For me, I was into jazz before.
Mm-hmm.
I actually took a jazz history class in college, and
mm-hmm.
I really liked that. I studied classical music too,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked. I kind of dug all these different kinds of music, and I think that's what really got me into electronic music. Was even just with house and the breaks and stuff. It's just, incorporates so many, classical sound even.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
Doesn't have to be all poppy, cheesy stuff you hear on the radio.
All right, let's bring Brad into this conversation. Brad,
Bradley,
how'd you get your start, Brad?
I guess my family has always been musical. We never grew up playing any instruments, but my parents always played records, so I grew up listening to Beatles and Doors and Zeppelin and Michael Jackson. So I already had that vinyl interest growing up. And then I guess it was, in the 90s, there was all that cheesy 90s dance music, like Real McCoy and Ace of Base.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad would play it really loud on his system. So I think that really kind of intrigued me as far as electronic music goes. And then from there, I just went to just buy random CDs. And one of the first CDs I ever bought was DJ Wally, which is on a label called Jungle Sky. and that was probably my real introduction to jungle music.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it off from there. Started playing records shortly after. There was a couple record stores back in those days, Danceterium, and a DJ store. Fortunately, they're not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not that much of a vinyl scene.
Yeah.
So we do what we can. A lot of it is buying it online.
Yeah, yeah, that happened to me too. With my parents, they always had vinyl everywhere, and that was a big part of it. And I would see these vinyls over and over again, and I wouldn't appreciate it. And it wasn't until, you know, mm-hmm. 20 years later, I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you have this on record. Looking at this record for your whole life. What do you mean? You know, and you get to learn more appreciation for it.
Yeah. It's interesting hearing you guys talk about the vinyl because, you know, I too grew up in a very musical family. Almost everybody played an instrument. You know, you guys know I'm a singer. And I grew up with this huge bookshelf that took up like half of a whole wall in a room that was just floor to ceiling, nothing but vinyl. And a lot of it sounds like the same influence, Alex, that you had from your parents, you know, mm-hmm. the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and, you know, Rush and all of those, you know, classic rock bands.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I wish my parents were into stuff that cool. It was like Neil Diamond and, you know, Barry Manilow.
Didn't you just buy Neil Diamond?
Yeah,
record?
I did. Because I saw it. I saw some great
music
in there, and it reminded me of
the
good old days.
My first concert.
Yeah. So, there is one member of Archaeology who's not able to be here tonight, and that is Renee Aguiar, the reason. So, do you guys want to introduce Renee real quickly? Who wants to say something about him? Anybody? somebody want to give him shit for not being here?
of course, we all want to do that, but...
He's working at our favorite bar right now.
There we go.
Thanks. He's doing a good job.
I don't know what we can say about him.
I've known Renee since high school, so
yeah.
I've known him for a long time, but you know, he's a good guy.
He's a great guy. He's good to work with. He's a good, great DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in numerous crews with him over the years.
Mm-hmm. You can probably talk about Proper Dosage a little bit then, right? Because he brought that, or Brad, you can, right?
Yeah.
With Proper Dosage, you guys brought that to Respectable Street Club, right?
That's my first residency at Respectable.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dubstep took a turn for the worse, and so we kind of got out of that. And now we came back as Archaeology, doing my second round at Respectables in ways. We're doing it bi-monthly. Alex has been playing there before I was old enough to go to clubs.
2003. That was one of the first kids I ever got.
Mm-hmm.
He played at a Baby Ann show.
Wow.
Yeah. They had breaks up front, you know, we had the bass in the back.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you guys, you know, you have this relationship with Respectable Street Club, which is an awesome place. It's my favorite club.
Yeah.
But you, Alex, also told me about you guys having plans for throwing themed parties and that sort of thing. I don't know that we're talking about house parties or just like whatever.
No, just, you know, a long time ago, which is not that long ago, well, 90s, I guess, people used to throw parties with soul into them. It used to be, you know, Candyland, and there used to be Clash of the Titans, where they would have, you know, themes that wouldn't just, you know, buy an artist and then just have people show up, you know, like there's a show coming up this Wednesday. We booked George Young, which is a local artist, was one of our favorites. He's a influenced hip hop and drum and bass is what he does. He's really good at it. And so we wanted the party to revolve around that. So we have a hip-hop themed party. Our flyer is like an old 90s hip-hop flyer. We're going to try to bring the four elements of hip-hop to that show. Graffiti, breakdancing, you know, DJing, of course, and MCing.
So you're actually going to have graffiti artists there on site doing art?
We're going to have graffiti artists out there. Yeah, we're going to have up, and then we're going to lay out... piece of cardboard. We have breakdancers out there, so if anybody's listening and wants to come out breakdance, we're going to be playing proper old school hip hop and proper old school breaks, and then of course the combination of both on the inside, you know, drum and bass and jungle.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's this Wednesday,
and that is next Wednesday.
This, I'm so sorry, not tomorrow, but right. 1 week from tomorrow. Okay.
A week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Little things like that to make it more interesting, more fun, you know. Mm-hmm. The main thing is having fun and smiling and enjoying ourselves. Mm-hmm. On top of listening to good music that we would like to present.
Right, creating a vibe around the music.
Creating a vibe, exactly.
I like the idea of that, like booking people around the main artists that fit in best. So that way you highlight DJ, you know, that's, you know, does a particular style or genre, and he gets to do what he likes, you know. If he's playing the main room with whoever the main DJ is, then that's his cup of tea. That's what he does, you know.
You're setting him up with good support. You're setting him up with good support,
right.
Too.
Yeah.
Like, if you have an opener that makes sense, that would work, you know. That
exactly.
The
whole
style
night
of music
should just flow.
Not like theme as in, wear white pants to the show party. But, you
right,
know, like.
It's more of a musical.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, they just kind of, they're trying to all book their buddies, and they're all, you know, they don't really. They don't put the show together quite right. You know, they'll have a drum and bass guy and then they'll have a drum and dubstep guy opening up for him or something.
They go quiet, you know, mm-hmm. Or just overload it.
They're
with
just trying
names
to get as many names.
You're like, yeah.
Right.
It's a festival? It's one night.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, knowing you guys on a little bit more of a personal level, I know that you guys are all, you know, very much about love and positive energy and all of those sorts of great things, which is, of course, why you fit so well into the show. But, you know, so many artists out there are so motivated, you know, by ego and by the money and all of that. And you guys are just so purely motivated by the music and by bringing people together to have a good time, right? I mean, that's your intention.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. That's it.
You know, it was out on the cast at the end of the night, but if everybody was there having a blast and people, you know, came together, haven't seen each other in a while and all that, vice versa, it's success.
All
of
us.
Yeah.
Great. It's good for you guys to have that view.
One of the first things that we talked about when we got together to make this collaboration, the five of us, was we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun and we're going to laugh. Those are the main things. And then everything else falls into place.
Right.
You know, putting positivity into it just kind of comes with it because we're approaching it in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
of having fun.
And we also... Right. Not to get too much into it, but there was a couple of years over the last few years where you know, people were a couple of different people were throwing parties and they were getting mad at each other because they were, you know, one person's party was too close to this person's party and, you know, they weren't working together. And
yeah.
Something that we've always strived to do is to work with all the different crews from all around, all the way, you know, all the way down to Miami, everywhere around. We want to work with everybody. We, you know, we're not trying to butt heads with anybody. And it's actually, we've kind of seen a few different crews now. Everybody's kind of starting to come together. And
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it's just really good timing for us to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody knows, you know, a lot of the Alex and Brad and Renee have been around here forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody down south knows them. And so it's a really good thing. We have, you know, good credibility, and we're not going to ruin it. We're going to, you know, we're just trying to build the scene up.
Right.
And help everybody out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you have good intentions. So I think when you have good intention behind what you're doing, you're going to be successful, I believe.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly what we're doing it for. The minute it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
We're done.
That's it.
But at the same time, too, you know, being realist and just coming from my own experience, having been in several bands, it's hard sometimes, you know, to get so many different people. You know, there are five of you. You know,
well,
it's so hard to get you all on the same page. And, you know, sometimes you do have those maybe personality clashes or differences in opinion. How do you guys handle those things when they come up?
Just got to be honest, really. The best thing to do is, you know, just when there's anything that's going on, to just talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're all good friends. And that's, you know, I think that helps us out a lot. It's that, you know, none of us feel like we couldn't go to each other and be like, hey,
yeah.
I got a problem, you know,
yeah.
with this or that. So
yeah.
I think it makes it, as long as you have a good, clear channel communication.
Everybody's got equal parts pretty much when it comes to everything, you know.
Yeah.
And something's going to happen. Everybody knows, regardless of where we're all at. Obviously, the technology's there. We communicate however we need to. But, yeah, we can communicate part difference.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's about just being honest. If we have any issues with something, just nip it in the bud right then.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, that's how this person feels, and that's all. There's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I work around it.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Yep.
Now, your first show was January 17th, is that right? December 17th, okay. And that was at Respectable Street Club.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, you said you plan on doing this monthly or twice a month?
Gonna be
every other month.
We don't want to overwhelm ourselves. We still have a lot of stuff on our plates, you know,
mm-hmm.
with our lives, and we don't want to just throwing it together just to throw a show. You know, we want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be 100% behind it, not just throwing
right.
a show just because we have a date.
Right.
We have a space.
Right.
That's where you fall into the trap of what we were talking about,
yeah.
where you just start booking people just to
that's
look
where the quality gets diminished and, you know,
mm-hmm.
the fun kind.
So you guys are kind of just pacing yourselves, you know, to make sure that you do it right, which is great.
Yeah.
Now, you also, you fly artists in from around the world, too, right, to collaborate with you guys?
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about that, some of the artists that you've worked with from around the world?
Oh, I don't know. over the years?
Oh,
well, actually, at your show...
Well, Amit was our last
mm-hmm.
artist. Really, really cool guy. A lot of these guys are rolled down. To us, they're big because we love their music and we've heard them for so long. But when they come down, you end up hanging out with them. They're just really cool, down-to-earth people. They love music like us, and we tend to have a lot in common, no matter where in the part of the world they're from.
And Amit is from England, right?
Yes.
From, okay.
Yeah, he loved it here, too. And Renee and I hung out with him a bit, and he really loved it. He actually said he couldn't wait to hurry up and book him so he can come back down here, and he wants to actually plan a week or two around it so he can actually come stay and enjoy it.
Enjoy the ocean.
Yeah.
Live the South Florida lifestyle for a while.
One of the perks of coming down to West Palm Beach,
right.
I guess.
Yeah. So... let's bring it back to, you know, you guys, again, you're bringing vinyl back to the forefront of your genre mixing. So why vinyl? Better sound quality? What is it?
Yes, it's the best sound quality that can be reproduced. It's the best way, I think, to present this type of music. It's the best way to my personal opinion, to mix. I feel more control over the song itself
yeah.
when I'm touching the plate.
Mm-hmm.
I love the feel and the smell of vinyl. I think if you just control it better, I like the, it sounds 10 times better. That's really the main thing.
We're all record collectors, so we actually get to use our vinyl and like,
yep.
I mean, we have, yeah. Tons of just stuff.
Like we all learned on vinyl.
It's just
mm-hmm.
something about holding it in your hand. You can't hold an MP3.
That's right.
Yeah. You don't have a nice, beautiful record sleeve to look at. Sometimes they have big gatefolds
mm-hmm.
and booklets.
That CD
really
goes
cool
in that Pioneer CDJ, and you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's got control now. You can slap in buttons and whatever.
Where I really relate to that is with books. You know, because they start coming out with, you know, the Kindle and,
oh, yeah.
you know, Nook and all this
yeah.
stuff. And I'm like, no, I need a book. I need a real book that I can hold in my hand and smell
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, feel. And
yeah. Yeah.
I will never own one of those pieces of technology because I like my books. So I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult because we get gigs that don't even provide turntables anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, because we don't just throw on shows. We also get booked in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to play vinyl so bad, and I can't just lug my turntables around every single time I get a gig and play for an hour. It's difficult. It really is. So
mm-hmm.
right.
I think when people do actually see that people are playing vinyl, they will appreciate it a little bit more too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the art is there.
I think vinyl is just fun. Like I'm pretty sure there is a big resurgence, just not just in electronic music, but just vinyl in general. Maybe hipsters and stuff like that, but I think I've talked to a few people that are into records now, and I know a few people, and
yeah.
it's just they're just fun to play. It's a lot more fun to like have this stack of records to flip through and look at the, you know, like you said, the artwork and everything, and to see these songs all there, you know, read it, you know, some of them have the lyrics and things like that, and it's just a lot more fun, you know, flipping the record around, putting the needle on it and stuff. It's
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so much more warm and organic than, you know, right, an MP3 player or so, a computer.
In a way, you know, it's taking a step back from technology, really, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that's, absolutely. I think people prefer it, honestly.
I think the MP3 seal has kind of been broken. Like, music lovers are realizing now that they're losing the quality and everything like that. They're losing the experience of listening to albums and, you know, the way they're supposed to be listened to. Looking at the artwork and all that cool stuff that came along with it. I think, like, you know, throughout the years and stuff with all the MP3s, like, people, music lovers mainly, you know, are kind of resorting back to vinyl for that appreciation of, you know.
I got my 7-year-old kid into vinyl. Like, he thought it was so fun, and, you know, it dawned on me, like, you know, if you put vinyl and an MP3 player in front of 10 kids, they're going to go play with the vinyl, I guarantee
vinyl.
You.
Yeah.
They're going to have a lot more fun with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
It's more tangible.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
If you got a cat, your cat's going to have more fun with the turntable.
Oh, that's happened a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
How about your daughter, Brad? I know she's still quite young, but...
She's a troublemaker. She's a troublemaker. Early records before. sometimes she enjoys watching me DJ, hang out, jump around.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times she's like, turn it off.
So how have you guys seen over the past decade and a half that you've been involved in the scene, how have you seen it change? I mean, other than like what we just talked about, any other big changes that you've seen?
Yeah, it's been significant. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. It's not like it used to be. It used to be much more exciting, I think, and more of an event. Electronic was still new. I'm talking about the 90s. It was still kind of a new thing, so it was still exciting. I think there was a bad rep that electronic music got.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I think some people didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just started, I don't know, and they just never, or they were like, oh, I only like it when you're on drugs, which is absolutely worst thing. I hate
drug culture.
The drug culture probably ruined it, and then people were like, oh, well, I want to listen to that, I'm not on drugs. Like, that's awful.
Mm-hmm.
This is beautiful music, you're just not paying attention to it.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. Katy Perry, okay, whatever, you know, that, real music here.
Mm-hmm.
But it changed, yeah. And then with the introduction of the MP3, that changed everything. And computers behind turntables, it's crazy to me. Everyone plays everything off their computer. Then there's laptop DJs that only have they bring their laptop out and they're playing off of that. And now it becomes more like a jukebox thing as opposed to the art of actually DJing.
Yeah.
Turntablism. And things of that nature. So, but on the other hand, the actual sound, the actual music itself, the composing is so great now with the technology that they have, that we all have. Sounds that are coming out, the different, again, the types of subgenres, and so, like, just great experimental music.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps growing. I would have thought dubstep would have been a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it just pops up. Like, this big genre in electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
The 90s was kind of like the Wild West, really. A lot of the electronic music was new in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, drum and bass was only 3 or 4 years old, you know, like late 90s. But it was really a whole new thing. You know, it had started more over in the UK and in Europe and stuff. And, you know, there were some niches that popped up over here in the United States, but everybody was kind of just getting into it together. So, you know, it wasn't so divided, I don't think. I feel like it's really divided now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
It felt like it was just more, it didn't matter what kind of music you were into, like, it was just more like you were going to the party, the same party, and, like, that's all that mattered. And, like, now it's just kind of, people kind of corner themselves off, and they're like, "I'm just into dubstep." Like, and now it's not even I'm just into dubstep. I'm into this wobbly dubstep that only sounds like wobbly.
Right.
Wah.
So many subgenres.
Like, you know, yeah.
That break one genre apart. Man.
That's
a really good point, though. You're right. It did kind of separate. I mean, electronic music lovers
you got separated with all of these subgenres and stuff of music. House DJs only want to go listen to house music and only go to house parties. I think it's why we also made a conscious decision to incorporate all electronic music that we enjoy for dance music. We're going to have house parties. You know, again, DJs that we love. We're going to have dubstep parties. You know, obviously, we're going to have drum and bass parties. Because we want, you know, we want to bring everyone together. We want the drum and bass people to dance with the house people, and we want everyone, you know, to be, you know, family again. And instead of just, oh, what's that? That's a dubstep show. Oh, I don't go to dubstep shows.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a good artist, it's a good artist.
There's something to appreciate out of every genre.
It's become much more of a market now too. It's become like a business. Whereas before, you know, you had these people bringing something together, and it was, you didn't even know where the party was going to be until the day of or whatever they do. Or, you know, it was if it was at a club, it was a very underground club kind of thing. But now it's just like a money making machine, and a lot of people have split it. You know, it's people are getting into it. You know, everybody gets in, nobody gets into it as a head. Like, everybody has to come into it and learn about the whole scene. And, you know, you can't always come in as an expert. And, like, now, like, a lot of people, I just feel like a lot of scenes look down on you if you don't know every little facet about, you know, that genre. And maybe that's, like, the age of the internet or, you know, or whatever. But I always like to kind of know a little bit about everything. Like, you know, I didn't like to bury myself in one specific sound. I like to know, you know. Keep open to different, you know,
and
sounds and experiences.
I think, you know, as an artist, that's what makes you a better artist, when you can be so open and so versatile. You know, it's like, and I was kind of personally forced into that, you know, where I grew up, you know, very rock and roll, you know, and because of the influence of my parents, like I was saying earlier, and I always hated country music, but I was in a cover band that, you know, forced me to sing country and pop and rock and R&B. We did everything, you know, and some of it really grew on me, you know, and now my musical interests are just, they're all over the board, you know. And of course I grew up, you know, listening to like The Cure and a lot of the industrial kind of stuff, and was into goth stuff for a while, and you know, so it was like freestyle. I remember listening to freestyle lot, you know, in like middle school, but just all over the board. So
you grew up in Florida. Sure, you heard freestyle.
So you guys have got some clips here that we're going to play. Now, is this stuff that you guys put together, or this is some of the...
No, this is one of the artists. We would like to have all of them, but we don't, which is okay. But this is one of the artists that is going to be playing at the Respectable show a week from tomorrow. His name is Some Jerk.
Okay, so...
yep, that's a real thing.
Let's listen to Some Jerk. Thank you. Other Wounds, DJ Mad remix. You can give listeners a taste of this one. And again, Some Jerk will be with Archaeology next Wednesday at Respectable Street Club in West Palm Beach. Archaeology next week, and you guys too, you're going to be doing the Lake Worth Street Painting Festival, which is this weekend. You're going to be playing Saturday night from noon to midnight on and off on the roof of Kava Sutra, right?
Yes, we're going to start on the roof of Kava Sutra. There was a stage that we built up there. We start off at 12 at noon, and then right around sunset we're going to break down and we're going to set everything up on the inside of Kava Sutra while everyone's painting downstairs. It's going to be it's very artistic vibe in the air. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that's where it's one of my favorite types of gigs, because we're not just playing dance music, or people aren't expecting a certain style or anything. We play whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when he's going to break out his Neil Diamond record.
Yeah.
And rock to play. You know, I'm gonna bring my old Beatles records, dust it off. I'm gonna play some down tempo, some just all over the board. You know, and that's really when you get the feel of the crowd. On, you know, you try to receive what they're interested in, how they're feeling right now, and you put it out there. It's like our way of talking to everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
In a sense. Not a freestyle. I'm going to play a lot of freestyle.
I'm freestyle. All right. I'm going to bring the 90s back. Thanks, Landon.
Thanks,
and then also DJs Bounce and Depth, Kevin and Alex, you guys are going to be in Miami at Will Call on Saturday, the 28th of February, right?
Correct. It's the AK 1200 show. It's the Florida Drum and Bass All-Stars.
Okay.
Which is going to be a lot of fun. Last day, they did one a couple months back, and it was great. It was very successful. I'm excited to play this one.
Good.
Yeah, we're pretty honored to actually be considered Florida Drum and Bass All-Stars. So.
Killing it.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks to AK 1200 and Eddie.
Yes, man. Doing a lot.
So I have a question for you guys. Knowing that you guys are all fairly shy, somewhat introverted, how do you handle getting out there in front of these large crowds and playing and kind of being up there on that stage and in that spotlight?
Once the headphones just go on, it just feels right.
I get lost as soon as the headphones go on.
Yeah.
I just get lost in whatever it is I'm doing out there. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes weird.
Sometimes you don't feel like that big crowd. It is nerve-wracking before, and like I've been shaking before, but literally, like you said, as soon as you walk up there, like it's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I've been so excited I'm shaking, but it's not because of nerves. I'm just like the energy of like the moment or whatever. Like I'll get shaky because of that, but it's not. I'm definitely not scared. I've never been though. That's the weird thing is I am very shy, introverted. Like I'd rather hide on my couch and watch movies all night than go out and be in like some crazy crowd. And so it's kind of ironic that, you know, the nightclub DJ that's introverted.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we all kind of are on that vibe.
Yeah, except for Renee. He's a little more outgoing.
He's more outgoing, yeah.
I will say, if you get enough drinks into any of us, we can turn into that other guy.
Especially Bradley.
Brad's still here, guys. Brad's still here.
Yeah, Brad's definitely, I think, from my perception, the most shy of all of you.
But I'll tell you, like you were saying about how the music talks through you, he's like more of the wild card. Like he's more outgoing when it comes to playing music than most of us. You know, if we're tagging all five of us together, he's the one I'm not sure when expected. And that's kind of the opposite of what you would think an introvert, someone plays safe. Someone that wouldn't play anything off of key or out of cue, or Brad flawlessly would play something crazy and a little offbeat. It's funny how that works out, you know?
Yeah, he left me that one night. I was playing all drum and bass, and then all of a sudden I found myself with an Eddie Murphy track on it. I didn't know what to do. It was amazing. It was awesome. But yeah, he snuck that one in. Like, I didn't even know it was happening.
Right. So you guys all know, that In the Stream is a show on art and spirituality. So just to kind of touch on the spiritual aspect of music a little bit, how, if at all, do you feel that music is spiritual to you?
Deep.
If Renee were here, he'd say, Jess, you're too deep. You're too deep, Jess, you're too deep.
it's very spiritual, you know, and like we were brushing on before, depending on what mood you are, you want to listen to. You meditate a lot. I listen to ambience, and I like to meditate during ambience, and it can be a very spiritual thing. It can uplift you. I'll just sit back and contemplate life, really, and just play in certain songs. Music is definitely part of my soul, part of all of our souls.
Mm-hmm.
We're all frequencies, we're all energy, and I think we all kind of move through it.
Mm-hmm. I use it to help me direct me through my day, you know, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, what I'm going to listen to, you know, and it helps kind of, you know, get me to where I need to be if I'm not there, or vice versa, you know, mm-hmm. just winding down, you know, it all depends on the mood and accessibility.
Definitely a soundtrack to your life. Day goes on, you've seen different stuff. Sometimes I'm like ADD about it, and like I have to find the right freaking mix or song, you know, style of music I want to listen to, and I'll go through like four or five mixes before you find that right one you're like, can really connect with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, just beyond the soundtrack, to add to that, like, you know, everybody has a song that they can hear and it, like, triggers some kind of memory, you know, like when you were a kid or
audio scrapbook
10 years ago or whatever. Yeah, it's all up there, and you're the only one that knows that, but, you know, you're the only one that gets to enjoy it. But
that's right.
It really is. It's kind of cool that way that it's very connects, you know, it does, it attaches. Certain songs can just attach to themselves. Whatever, you're making fun of me for Neil Diamond.
I'm not making fun of you.
No, I think it's funny. I think it's funny because I would have never, you know, 20 years ago, you told me I was going to buy a Neil Diamond record.
Right, that's why I was going
to I would have, like, kicked my own ass. But now, as I'm, you know, I'm getting older, I guess, I'm appreciating more stuff. And, like, there's some good songs on that album.
America's favorite songwriter.
There you go.
I was reminded as you guys were talking about, you know, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 5 years, and I was on the subway one time, and I had my headphones in, as I always did, and, you know, just like you guys, you know, we're all in the same boat. Music's always been a huge part of my life, a huge part of my soul. It's the air I breathe. And this guy tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "What are you listening to?" And I can't remember what I was listening to, but I told him. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I have no interest in music at all whatsoever." And I was like,
that boggles
that's exactly, mind. That look is exactly what I gave him. I was like, whoa. I didn't understand it at all. I was like, I can't believe, you know, and I had this conversation with him, but he was so hard-faced about it. You know, he was just like, "I don't listen to music at all." I'm like, "Well, do you at least listen to, like, talk radio or anything?"
Yeah,
he's like, "No."
You're
dead to
me. You're dead to me.
I can't even have a conversation with you. I'm
sorry.
I couldn't relate, but it was interesting because, honestly, I kind of got the feeling that he got a certain vibe from me because I had the music flowing through me, and so I believe that I had a certain energy coming off of me, and I probably in some way attracted him, like, "Whoa, what's going on there?" You know? And then he was like,
"Yeah, that's true.
Wait a minute, you know, like, so I hope maybe he's listening to music today, but."
Yeah, I hope so, too. That's depressing.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. Go ahead, Alex. You want
to
say
sorry,
something?
One more thing. We wanted to have more music on here, original music from the artists that are going to be at the show Wednesday at Respectables. George Young, of course, and Alakay, which is a really good up-and-coming producer. So if anybody wants to hear our stuff, please look them up. They're really beautiful artists, beautiful music.
We'll have it up on the archaeology page, too.
Yeah, we'll put it up on the archaeology page as soon as we're done.
You're talking about your
here,
Facebook page,
I'm sorry,
right?
Our Facebook archaeology page. We'll just put everything on there, and it'll connect you to SoundCloud and these guys, because they're really great.
Okay. And the link to the archaeology Facebook page is on my Facebook page and on in the stream's Facebook page. So we'll link everything
all
together.
We're leaving a trail of breadcrumbs. There you go. Some really good music.
I'm pretty sure, though, if people are having trouble, if they just go to Facebook and search archaeology, you guys will pop up.
It'll be worth the hunt.
Your logo is the same one that our listeners should be seeing on their screen. That's the triangular logo. So that's the one you have
bones,
for your
then it's definitely in the wrong
picture.
Page.
That's one thing I didn't ask you guys. How did you come up with your name, Archaeology? Who came up with that? How did that?
Well, Brad and I wanted to get we wanted to bring back vinyl. We wanted to get a crew. We were talking, and archaeology came up, and it just clicked. And I think why it clicked to me so much was there was a verse off of an RJD2 song. That refers to digging in the crates, refers to digging in your own vinyl and dusting off, you know, the old vinyl that you have, digging in your crates. So we're archaeologists. You know, we dig it in, we're bringing out the past, and it's, you know, moving through the vinyl.
That's awesome. I love that. That's really cool. Well, once again, I'll tell you guys, I know I've said it a few times, but for those of you who might just be joining us now, you can see Archaeology live at Respectable Street Club in West Palm Beach next Wednesday, February 25th, from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., when they present The Art of Hip Hop and Jungle, featuring George the Infinite and Some Jerk and more.
Alakay.
Alakay.
All right. Well,
and
as
Brad.
And Brad, he's here. He's here. We promise. I always close every show out with somewhat of a guided meditation. It's not a true meditation because it's difficult to do that through this medium with a radio show. But I read a passage from Thich Nhat Hanh's book, How to Love. And I always just randomly open the page before every show and hope that the universe, source, God, whatever you guys, anybody wants to call it who's listening, chooses whatever people are most going to resonate with who are listening. So we'll go ahead and read what we've chosen here tonight, which is lover as healer. The Sanskrit word karuna is often translated as compassion. Compassion means to suffer with another person, to share their suffering. Karuna is much more than that. It's the capacity to remove and transform suffering, not just to share it. When you go to a doctor, it doesn't help if she just shares your suffering. A doctor has to help heal the suffering. When you love someone, you should have the capacity to bring relief and help him to suffer less. This is an art. If you don't understand the roots of his suffering, you can't help. Just as a doctor can't help heal your illness if she doesn't know the cause. You need to understand the cause of your loved one's suffering in order to help bring relief. Always great wisdom in his words. You guys have anything you want to add on to that?
That was beautiful.
Can't really top that. That was great.
Thank you so much for having us on.
You're very welcome.
Absolute pleasure.
It's been fun.
It is. You guys are great, great people. I love your energy. It's always fun to hang around with you guys outside of formats like this. I'll be at your show next week, and I hope that our listeners will too. I know it's going to be awesome. So thank you all for being in the stream, and I hope you'll join us next week when we speak with the witty Liana Patch, New Orleans writer and editor at The English Maven. And that's next Tuesday at 7 p.m. on In the Stream. Good night, all you beautiful people, and we'll bring you out with Archaeology's Mix. Oh, if I turn it up, it would help, right?